You've just heard the truth sung. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, the choir has expressed the words of our heart this morning. Thou art our God, and we will praise thee. Thou art our God, and we will exalt thee. We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. We love you this morning, our Father, with all of our heart. Everything that's in us today cries, holy, holy is the Lord. There aren't very many quiet moments in a week, Lord. Your word says that from the coming up of the sun to the going down of the same, that the Lord's name is to be praised. Unfortunately, sometimes, Lord, it's from the coming up of the sun to the going down of the same, we're running helter-skelter. Don't always take the time to praise the name of the Lord. Then we come into the house of God on a Sunday morning, and in a moment of quiet, we sense your holiness, we sense your majesty, we sense your love. We sense your everlasting mercy towards us. And we realize all over again what it means when the gospel says that for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have that glorious, wonderful, everlasting life, beginning the moment that he receives Jesus Christ into his heart. We want to thank you this morning, Father, for the everlasting life that you've given unto us, and for the fact that it's not going to begin when we die, but it began when we died to the old life. And that we're already walking in that abundant life that Jesus said he came to give. That we're already feasting at the table of the Lord. That's why we can praise you. Not for some future blessing, although we know that's magnificent, but we exalt you for what you are today and for what you've made us. We bless you today, our Father, out of the depths of our heart, for translating us out of bondage into freedom, for delivering us from death to life, and for satisfying our longing hearts with every good thing. We would be quick to add, Father, that even if we had never partaken of your blessings, we would still praise you. We would still exalt you. Because we know that you're God. You're the God of heaven and the God of the earth. And you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be exalted. You are worthy to be honored. You are worthy to be blessed. Even those of us this morning, Father, that are unaware of your mercies and unaware of your blessings, we still exalt you. We still praise you. We still speak to you of our love. This time, Father, is established for the worship and the study of the things of God. And we lay aside right now all of the thoughts of this life. We lay aside the concerns that we had before we walked in this door. We lay aside the difficulties that we've had. We lay aside the burdens that would weigh us down. And we open our hearts and our minds, our lives completely to you. And we ask you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to minister your blessing unto us this day and to minister to us where we have need today. Each of us are different. We all have different needs. But you love each and every one of us the same. And we realize, Father, that as we will open our hearts to you, and open our situations to you, and lay our circumstances at your feet, that you will move among the people in this place today. Through the singing, through the ministry of the Word, through the supernatural operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whatever means are necessary, you will do them in order to meet us where we are. So we commit the time to you, our Father. Commit the service to you, all those that will minister. And we commit ourselves to the worship of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of the Psalms. Turn to the 77th Psalm, if you will. We're going to do something a little different this morning with Psalm number 77. Now, this psalm is in two parts, and you will notice as we read it that the first nine verses is a cry. It's a cry for help. It's a cry out of desperation. It's a cry of confusion. It's a cry of discouragement. Then in the 10th verse, from the 10th to the end, the man who has penned these words under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is recognizing and reflecting upon his God. So for nine verses, he cries out of the depth of his despair, and then he finally realizes who is the one that he's crying unto. And you can see his attitude changing and his declaration changing. This is what I want to do this morning. I'm going to ask the ladies, please, to read the first nine verses. You read the cry. And then when we get to the 10th verse, we'll pause there just a moment, and I'll bring the men in, and I want the men to bring the declaration from 10 through 2. Now, there's no significance in why I've chosen it that way, but I want the ladies on the first nine verses, and I want the men in unison on the last 11, all right? Now, ladies, you're going to have to read that good and loud, because I'm not going to be reading with you. I'm going to get you started and then just let you go, all right? You read through verse 9. When you hit that Selah down there, at the end of verse 9, that's where you stop. Now, what does the word Selah mean? Pause and reflect on what you have just read. And so that's a natural breaking place. All right, ladies. I cried unto God with my voice.
Even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah.
Have you ever felt like that? Every once in a while you feel like that, don't you? Where are you, God? Don't you know my situation? Where are you, Lord? You can almost hear that cry. All right, men? Now, this is when the Spirit of God begins to move upon this man who's crying out. And watch the change here in his attitude and in the words of his mouth when he senses the presence of God. Men, read with me. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. Thy lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So for 9 verses, he cried out, "Where are you, O Lord? Don't you know what kind of trouble I'm in? Don't you recognize or realize the problems that I have? I'm in the midst of a strait, in a midst of circumstances that are too difficult for me." Then he began to meditate upon the goodness of the Lord. He began to remember the things that God had already done for him. He began to remember what it was like before he knew the Lord God personally. And he began to remember the change that had taken place in his life since he'd made God his refuge and his trust. He began to remember the mighty things that God had done in his life, the joy that he had brought, the deliverances that he brought, the provisions that he had brought. And as he encouraged himself in the Lord, that depression and that discouragement and that heaviness just began to lift. And so it should be for us as believers. There are times when we wonder where God is, some of us, and when the enemy comes in like a flood and you just think you're going down. Well, praise God, you're not going down. The Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And you don't have to go down, beloved, unless you want to, see? But be like the psalmist here, and when those kinds of things seem to overwhelm you, you just begin to take confidence and encouragement in what God has already done. He's done it before, he'll do it again. So no matter where you are this morning, we're going to have a time of worship and praise, no matter what your circumstance is. I want you to take your eyes off your problem and put your eyes on the Lord. He is the solution. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And do as the psalmist did, and don't look at the problem, but look at the answer. Don't look at the difficulty, but look at the problem solver and give him praise and give him thanks for what he has already done and what he will. That's what praise is all about. And the people of God are to be praising the Lord no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the difficulty. Amen. James, would you come, please? Lead us in a time of singing and a time of worship. You feel free to praise the Lord in the Spirit this morning. Rejoice before God, for He's good.
Praise God. Psalms 37, 23, and 24. Y'all stand. Hallelujah.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
That's better than that other music, isn't it, Randy?
Amen. Oh, glory. I looked down there to see Randy on those drums, and I never saw him when he was playing the other kind of music, but it just all comes rushing back to me, you know, what God has done for him and for all of you. I just praise God for it. Let me ask you to bow your heads with me, please, and let's have a word of prayer and concerning the ministry of the Word. Father, we remember right now with thanksgiving the return of the 52 American hostages who have been delivered by your plan, Father, and by your power. We know that. We give you thanks on their behalf and on behalf of their families, and we pray for them today, Father. We lift them up to you, Father, and we, using the world's terms, we just pray for decompression for them, for their family, and we ask you, Lord, that you'd help them make a speedy adjustment to normal life. And we mean by normal life, Father, normal life in Christ Jesus. And as we're thanking you for the return of our citizens, we're also asking you, Father, today that by the ministry of your word, that you will deliver others who are currently held hostage by our enemy, Satan, held in spiritual prison, many in tormenting solitary confinement, without a friend, without a hope, many in miserable physical and emotional and all in miserable spiritual circumstances. We ask you, Father, to set the hostages free in Jesus Christ. And if there be any person, Father, who's in this auditorium this morning who is held hostage in any area of his life, we ask you, Father, that through the proclamation of your word, through the hearing and the receiving and the acting upon it, that you will minister freedom and deliverance. You said if we continued in your word, then we would be your disciples and we would know the truth, and that truth would make us free. So I'm believing you, Father, to free some hostages today. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew's Gospel, the 12th chapter, an incident from the life of Jesus Christ. God's Word, the Bible, is an accurate record of what actually transpired thousands of years ago. Matthew was a man who lived with Jesus and followed Jesus and worked with him and ministered with him, and after his death, recorded under the anointing of the Holy Spirit experiences from the life of Christ and words that fell from his lips. Now, as I read this story today, this is not just some fantasy. It's not some fairy tale. It actually happened. It happened precisely and exactly as it's recorded. And the words that fell from the lips of our Savior came exactly as they are recorded here. The only difference is they came in another language. And what we are reading is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. The words that he spoke are God's words. And so give careful attention now to the words of our God, and let's profit from them. Matthew chapter 12, beginning to read in the 22nd verse. Then was brought unto him, Jesus, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, whether you know it or not, beloved, there is a conflict going on in the earth today. It's a conflict with the prize, the souls of men. That conflict is being waged by the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. It's being waged by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, against Satan, the prince of the powers of the air and the prince of darkness. The world does not recognize that, does not acknowledge it, but it's true nonetheless. And the story that we have just read is an account of a confrontation between the Lord Jesus and the enemy. At stake was this poor blind and dumb man who was possessed by the devil and had no control over his own circumstances and the power of the Spirit of God. Flowing out from the Lord Jesus Christ caused that man to be set free. There are many in our world today, and many even in the church, that are bystanders to this conflict. There are many who are conveniently and quietly sitting in their pews or chairs, or not in the church at all, not having any concern whatsoever for this battle that is going on with everlasting eternal consequences, the prize being the everlasting destiny of men and women and boys and girls all across the globe. Now Jesus, confronted with this poor boy, commanded the demon out of him, and out he came. And the boy saw and heard. Immediately there were those there who were the religious people of the day. Those are the Pharisees. They said, well, we saw what he did, we can't deny. But the reason he did it is he's using the power of Satan. Do you see the answer that Jesus gave? But the final words that the Lord spoke are the words that I believe He would speak to us today in the 30th verse. He that is not with me is against me. Beloved, if you are not with Jesus Christ today, you're against Him. In this battle that is currently being waged and will be waged until the day that the Lord comes and establishes His kingdom on the earth, there will be presented to every single man and woman, boy and girl, this choice. Will you stand with Christ or not? Now, I believe that if we were to say today to the majority of people in our world, the majority of people in our country and the majority of people in our churches, and we would say, will you stand with Jesus or will you stand with Satan? I believe the vast majority of people would say, I'll stand with Jesus. I'm not going to stand with Satan. But Jesus said that the choice is not given quite that clearly. The choice is given, what will you do with me? And how you respond to that question determines whose side you have taken. If you are like the man that stood on the ground and would not get in the barrel, if you choose not to be with Jesus, you have chosen to be against him. It's that simple. Now, it would be an easier word if I could preach to you this and I could say, well, now, you kind of go on, you know, just laid back. You just kind of, just do whatever you think is right. You've got plenty of time. And besides, it's not all that serious anyway. And you can kind of take it or leave it. And you can make church a few Sundays out of the year. Or you can make church every Sunday. But you don't have to really get carried away with this religion business. You don't have to become a fanatic. You don't have to go nuts over Jesus. It's unnecessary for you to do that. That you can still be sane and you can still kind of get along with the world and you can still kind of play both ends of the street. You can kind of play both ends against them. And it's all right, but I can't tell you that. If I told you that, I would go right the same place you did. Do you understand me? Jesus said, If you refuse to decide to be with me, then you have already made a decision to be against me. No decision is a negative decision. Well, I heard what you said about Jesus, and I've heard this gospel, you know, we must believe on Jesus in order to be saved. And, you know, I've heard that ever since I've been a child, and I'll probably deal with that one day. Yeah, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, but I don't know about this, you know, throwing my whole life into his basket. If you're in that condition this morning, you are against Christ. Make no mistake about it. You are either with him or you are against him. There is no fence. There is no middle ground. There is no gray area. The world loves to teach us or loves to tell us about, well, there isn't anything that's black and white. Everything is gray and it's all various shades of gray. I want to tell you today, beloved, you're seeing something that's black and white. There isn't anything gray about it. You're either in or you're out. You're either for or against. You're either with or you're against him. That's what Jesus was talking about in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. You're right there in the neighborhood. Just back up a little bit to Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter. Verse number 21. These are the words of our beloved. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. But many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many works? Didn't we give when the offering plate was passed? Didn't we go to church every Christmas and every Easter? We didn't kill anybody, never committed adultery, well, at least not too many times. Aren't we okay to get in? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never, not even at any time, knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Ye that work iniquity. You are either with me or you are against me. You're either 100% with me or you're against me. And when you stand before me, I know those that are mine. And I know whether you're with me or not. You cannot tread water. I say again, you cannot tread water. You're either with him or by not being with him, you have declared yourself to be an enemy of God. Now, that is hard preaching, but it is the truth. Now, is there anybody here that would like to consider themselves an enemy of God? If you're here today, beloved, and you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ, I mean God on fire for God. If you're not with Him, if you're standing on the sidelines kind of doing your own thing, if you're not with Him, Jesus says you're against me. Now, what does it mean to be against somebody? It means to be his enemy, doesn't it? It means to be working in opposition to him. Everything you do, unless you're with him all the way, everything you do is tearing down his kingdom and building up the devil's. And you may very well be a good person. You may very well be living a good life. Moral and honest, and everything you do is legal and ethical, and you wouldn't think of doing anything immoral or dishonest. You're a good guy. You're a nice lady. If you're not with Jesus, you're against him. Now, you maybe never heard that in your church. You may be accustomed to nice, normal sermons and nice messages that don't ever hurt anybody and don't ever step on anybody's toes. Beloved, I don't care about your toes. I don't give a flip about your toes, as Andy Capp would probably say. I care about your eternal soul. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. If you are not actively engaged in the work of the gospel, I don't mean pastoring a church, preaching the gospel. I don't mean full-time Christian service. I mean if you are not actively every day involved in the work of the kingdom of God, then you are involved with destroying it. Now listen to me, Christian. I'm talking to believers. If you are not 100% with Christ in his work, then you're scattering. If you're not gathering with him. If you're not doing what he said that we're to do, then you are destroying it. Do you hear me? You cannot drift along, all laid back. Isn't any laying back in the kingdom of God? He that is not with me is against me. And he that is not actively gathering with me, he that is not working with me, is working against me. There isn't any in between. Now, for those of you that do not know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, those of you who have not trusted in him, you have an opportunity to make a decision for Jesus today. Those of you, perhaps, there may be some of you here today who have never quite understood what I've said. And perhaps even you have thought along the way that, well, it's all right, you know, I'm not doing too bad. And you thought, well, that's good enough. And you have judged yourself and your life by other people around you, and you've considered yourself a pretty good person. You should know today that there are millions of good people who are screaming in torment in hell because they did not believe upon the name of the Son of God. Now that's the truth. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what does that mean? Don't drink, don't smoke, don't wear pants, don't wear jewelry, don't wear lipstick, don't cuss, don't run around with women. I'm going to give you the commandment of the Lord. That's perhaps what you have heard in the past that salvation is all about. That's not what salvation is all about. That's not what salvation is all about. The Bible says that you used to be adulterers and drunkards and all the rest, but praise God, you've been washed by the blood of Jesus. No, there's only one thing that you must do, beloved, only one. Just one. It's in 1 John. And it's in chapter number 3. Turn to it. First John, chapter 3, and verse number 23. And this is his commandment. Now listen carefully. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. That's it. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. What are his commandments? Believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. What does it mean, believe? It means jump in a barrel. It means quit standing down below. It means jump in a barrel. Throw in with Christ. Yeah, but I've been taught ever since I was a kid. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Friend, if you've never had an opportunity, today you do. Get all your eggs in his basket. Every one you've got, put it in the basket that Christ is holding. Get in a barrel with him. Put your trust and your confidence in him. It's not enough for you to sit in the pew and sing a nice normal hymn and hear a nice normal sermon and say a couple of nice normal prayers and shake a couple of nice normal hands. You walk out the same way you came in. No value to yourself, your family, or the kingdom of God. You're either on the side of Christ or you're on the other side. Now, let me say this to you. The whole world may not know whose side you're on. The whole world may not know whose side you've taken. You may not even know. But I want to tell you there are two people who know, and that's the Lord Jesus, and it's Satan. Jesus said in the passage of Scripture we just read that every house that's divided against itself cannot stand. I'm telling you that there is no division in the house of Jesus Christ. There is absolute and total unity there. That's why it's going to stand. That's why it won't fall. That's why there are no halfway believers in the kingdom of God. You're either with him or you're not. Now, while you're in the neighborhood, let's go to Revelation chapter 3, and I want you to read the letter that Jesus wrote to a church. This was not written to a bunch of demon-filled people. It was written to a church. Revelation 3 and verse number 14. And the angel of the Lord, and the angel, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. There's no in between. There's no lukewarmness. You're either hot or you're cold. If you're not hot, you are cold. You see it? He said, if you're not hot, if you're not with me, you're deceived. And in the end, he said, I'll have to spew you out of my mouth like I never knew you. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, You're deceived. You do not know what your situation is. You say that you're rich and everything is well, but you don't know that the way I see you in the spirit is that you're poor and wretched. I counsel thee. Jesus said, this is my advice. I advise you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Come to me and I'll give you true riches. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Come to me and get the robe of righteousness, and I'll put the garment of salvation on you, because right now you're naked. You may not think so. Well, what about my three-piece suit? That doesn't hide it from Jesus. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve. Put some eye drops in your eyes so that you can see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, what is Jesus saying to us? He's saying, look, I am speaking these strong words to you today because I love you. It's not because I'm mad at you, and it's not because I hate you. It's not because I despise you. It's because I love you. That's why I'm speaking straight language to you. I'm telling you exactly how it is so that you can make adjustments, so that you can make a correction in order to break the deceit that's on your mind and on your heart, in order to break through those things that have kept you bound, in order to break through the bars that hold you hostage. I'm speaking to you clearly because I love you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus said, I'm at the door of your heart, and I'm knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. What's he saying? Look, it doesn't have to continue to be that way. You don't have to stay in that condition. If you'll hear my voice and open the door of your heart and invite me to come in, he said, I'll come. I'll come into your life. I'll come inside your heart. I'll live inside you. That's what it means. I'll sup with you and you with me. I'll live there. We'll eat together. We'll do everything together. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. There is an overcoming. This battle will be won. It'll be won by Christ. The victory is already assured. Read the end of the book. It's already in there. The question is, who do we want to stand with at the end? Do you choose to stand with Jesus Christ at the end in power and in glory and in joy with eternal security, or do you plan to stand with the devil? At the end, you know where his fate lies. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now listen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What would the Lord say today? He would say this. Beloved, I have made my word clear to you today. Is there anybody in this auditorium that does not understand what I've said? It should be clear. It should be clear to young and to old. Jesus said, I've made my way plain. I've made my way clear. I have laid it down for you so that even the simple can perceive it. And now he that has an ear, let him hear. If you really want to hear, listen and hear what I've said and take action upon it. It's important that you know today. Let me say this to you. If you're not sure whose side you're on, if you're not sure whether you're with Jesus or not, you're not. Let me say that again. If you're not sure, if you don't have an assurance in your heart, if there's some doubt in you, you're not sure whether you're on the Lord's side or not, you're not. That's how you can tell. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. If you belong to God, you know it. And you're not a bit bothered by what I've said this morning because you know that you have already decided to be with Christ, that you're on His side. But if there's any uneasiness in you this morning, if there's any confusion or doubt in you this morning, if you're not sure, then you're not. Because if you were, the Holy Spirit in you would make you sure. So you say, well, what do I do about that? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. So what do I do? So you open the door and you say, Jesus, come on into my heart. Come on in and be the Lord of my life. I don't want to be against you. I want to be with you. You know what will happen? That quick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That quick you get a new life. Just that fast you get a new life. You may know it right then. You may not know it, for a few days or a few hours or a few minutes. But you get a brand new life that very moment. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Prince of the Kingdom of Love and Light, will come and live inside your heart. And He will make you a new person. He will change your appetites and He will change your desires. He will change your wants. He will change your compulsions. He will change even your thoughts. He'll even change the way you look. I am fascinated. I watch the people come into our services and I see them coming in. They're still hostages and they don't know it. They come through the doors and their faces are dark. They have a heaviness upon them and a, you know what I'm talking about? Just kind of a, I don't know if I can make it. Just a darkness and just a depression. Normal folks. Normal for the world. They come in here and they sit in a service. They sit through another service. They sit through another service. They hear the gospel. They receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Receive Him sitting there in the chairs, as we're teaching, preaching, as we're singing. Receive Him at home beside their bed. Receive Him over somebody's kitchen table. Just receive the Lord. And all of us, I don't even know that they've received Christ, but I watch them and I can see their countenance. It's like somebody put a light bulb on the inside of their head right behind their face. Do you know how many of you know what I'm talking about? Have seen it. Seen it in other people. I can see it. They walk in and I know that they've changed sides. I know it. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I can see the light in their face, the countenance in their face, light of their countenance. There's a change. You can see it in the children. You can see it in the moms. You can see it in the dads. You can see it in the whole family. It's remarkable, beautiful, absolutely fantastic to see that. And so, you may be here today and you're not sure you really comprehend all of this. Maybe very new to you. You may even think that your situation is so far gone that there isn't any hope for you or your situation. That's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. If you want to change sides, you can. You can do it right now by receiving Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do so in just a moment. I urge you and encourage you to deal with what the Holy Spirit is showing you this morning. Don't wait until this afternoon. Don't wait until tonight. Don't wait until next week. Don't wait until next year. You don't know whether you have another year. The Bible says that what is our life but a vapor? You may well have 40, 50, 60 more years. You may well have 5 more minutes. I don't know. And I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm not going to frighten anybody into the kingdom of God. I'm not trying to do that. I don't have any desire to do that. But I do want to convey to you the urgency of the gospel message that the Spirit of God has proclaimed to us today. Please don't throw it away. Please don't walk out of here against Jesus Christ. Bow your heads, if you will, please. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to give you an opportunity to change your allegiance. I want to give you an opportunity to get on the side of victory. I want to give you an opportunity to get on the side of Jesus Christ. So that on that last day, when we appear before Him and say, Lord, Lord, He will say to you, I know you. I know you. You're with me. You've believed on me. Rather than, depart from me, I never knew you. One or the other. Holy Spirit, I ask you to bring your conviction upon those who are not with Jesus. I ask you, Spirit of the living God, in Jesus' name, to make plain to every person who is here who has not been born again, a Christian, his or her situation on the basis of what we've declared. Make it clear. Speak to each one, Holy Ghost, in a way that they might know those that are saved today. Speak a word of assurance to those who are lost. Speak a word of truth and encouragement. We believe you to touch every one of these hearts and to set the hostages free. In Jesus' name. As every head is continued to be bowed and every eye closed, this is the most important moment in somebody's life. I want to ask you in private between you and the Lord, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today, get on His side and make Him the Lord of your life and live for Him, would you just raise your hand? Just raise your right hand and let me see it. Every eye is closed and every head is bowed. Is there one that would say, I receive Jesus as Lord of my life? I get on His side. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to look one more time across the auditorium. Is there anyone else who wants to give their life to the Lord? I see your hand. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you, continue to keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed. Remember now that Jesus said, if you hear my voice, and open the door, I will come in and sup with you. You must open the door. I'm going to ask the entire congregation to pray this prayer with me. You just pray this aloud. And those of you that have raised your hands, you pray aloud. And ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. The entire congregation will pray with you. And as you do, when you give him the invitation, he'll come just like he said. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry I've been against you. I didn't know. But I want to be with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin and change my life. I open the door of my heart. And I ask you to come in. Live inside me. Be my Savior. And be the Lord of my life. Be my King. Give me direction. And I will obey you in everything you say. All that you ask me to do. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. For coming into my heart, for receiving my life. I thank you, Father, for Jesus, and for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, I pray for these who have received Jesus Christ today into their hearts. I ask you, Lord, for your Spirit to dwell within them, to witness unto them that they are children of the living God, that they are citizens of your kingdom, that you're their Father. And I ask you, Father, to fill them with the Holy Spirit, to overflowing, to bless them beyond measure. In Jesus' name, amen. James? As James is coming for a closing hymn, let me say to you that those of you that prayed with me just now, Jesus said, I'm going to make this is up to you. Jesus said that if a man will not confess him before his fellow man, that he, Jesus, would not confess us before his Father. If you've received Christ as your Savior today, and you meant business when you prayed, the first thing I want you to do when this service comes to a conclusion is I want you to tell at least three people. I want you to say this, I've received Jesus as my Savior, and he's the Lord of my life. I want you to tell at least three people. Now, if you meant business, you'll be able to do that. If you didn't mean business, you won't. The Scripture says that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's with your mouth that you must confess to others that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. And he said, if you don't have enough salvation in you to declare that, then you don't have the real article. You're still standing down on the ground. You hadn't jumped in the barrel yet. Are you with me? Okay.
Stand, please. 623.